Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. Low point of the season? Oh, yeah. That was a really bad loss for the Chicago Bulls. That was awful, and they were terrible. And there's no need to exercise one guy or one name. I think you need to kind of You need a ceremony of sorts to get rid of a lot of people.
Good morning, Molly. Yes, happy Thursday. Last night at the United Center. I don't know if I'm ready to start the show. I'm still Googling Daquan Plowden, whoever he may be. But last night at the United Center felt like more than just a loss of a game. I think that it felt like the confirmation of a direction for the Bulls. We've been waiting and talking and, you know, debating whether or not the Bulls should do this or do that this year, and asking the question, tanking or competing. Last night they told us, and it's not a tank necessarily, but they told us what they want to be this year. That was their third straight loss at home this week.
Mm-hmm.
To a team in the Hawks,
yep,
without seven guys due to injury, bringing up guys from the G League.
Like the aforementioned Bowling Green star.
He went to Bowling Green?
Went to Bowling Green.
A little Maction. I didn't realize that.
I thought that's why you were bringing
it
up.
I wasn't trying to even bring some attention to my favorite conference. Keaton Wallace. Any relation to Ben? Where did he come from?
This is Maction!
27 points. The Hawks, they get in at 2 in the morning. They don't care. The Bulls have every reason to win the second game of a back-to-back at home, slept in their own beds, come to the United Center, and not a single Bull scored more than 20 points. That looks like a high school box score.
Yeah, that's unfair to high school kids because they usually get up for games.
Or at least they compete. Honestly,
they do. They get up and look forward to games, and they play as hard as they can very often. The Bulls.
So disappointing.
I mean, this has happened before this season.
So disappointing.
Did they think they had won before they walked into the building? Were they just tired? They looked tired.
They looked tired. And it also brought to mind things that Josh Giddey had said a couple weeks ago
exactly
about being too lax or too cool. And there's no excuse for that. And it's surprising a Donovan team can be accused of being not ready mentally and not competing physically to the point where they were beaten by an outmanned Atlanta Hawks team.
He's the perfect guy to identify that sort of thing because he reflects it quite often.
Well, Josh Giddey?
Yes.
Yeah, he did not show up defensively once again. He's got some really deceiving numbers.
Yes.
Because I know that you're consistently, I don't want to say inaccurate, you're accurate in your criticism of Josh Giddey, but it has been consistent. You have not been really swayed by his numbers.
I am not a fan of the way that he plays the
game.
I get it. And the great irony to me is that they traded a guy who everyone was a fan of the way he played the game.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't talk to me about talent and ability.
talk to me about performance in actual NBA games. And one guy leads the league in floor burns and is an unbelievable break-your-rear-end player, and the other guy is not.
So I think when you talk about Billy Donovan, and I'm not going to argue with that assessment because I think the results speak for themselves, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And speaking for themselves means this is the problem right now with the Bulls. And Billy Donovan, post-game, sounded like somebody who understood exactly where they were in this season and kind of searching for answers himself post-game. Nikola Vucevic tears into his team, according to Ayo Dosunmu, kind of implores his teammates to kind of turn things around. And the Bulls are, you know, they're bad right now. And this week has been very informative, very instructional. And we should pay attention to what they told us. And what they told us is not this year, again. Because I was at the UC last night after TV, walking around, saw Arturis Karnišovas. He was watching Iowa warm up pregame and very, you know, affable, very friendly. And I just wondered what was going through his head as he was preparing for that game, because the Bulls kind of had to win that to, or at least play better. And Mully, this is the third season in a row at the midway point as we sit here right now where they have no more than 19 victories.
Yep.
They're running in place. The running of the Bulls, indeed.
Yeah, and I know no one cares about this, and I haven't even seen it mentioned, but they're kind of in the same position as the Atlanta Hawks, right? That's kind of been one of their great competitors in the mediocre sweepstakes over the last couple years, 3 years. And they've been neck and neck with who's more awful or who's closer to maybe being good if they were like a series of bad accidents. I just can't stand watching them lose to that team and just be reminded that they're somehow behind them when the reality is that that's not a team you should ever be behind.
I don't like them losing to that team when they don't even have their best player. And when you compare the Hawks with the Bulls, that is a like comparison, because they have a player in Trae Young who you hear things often associated with what you hear about Zach LaVine.
Yes.
Explosive player.
Yes.
You know, you can get you the bucket when you need it, but not a winning player necessarily. You know, for whatever reason, the label has stuck to Trae Young in much the way the label has stuck to Zach LaVine. And the Hawks come in here, and Trae Young doesn't even play. So you think there's an opportunity. And the Bulls were lulled into that sense of security, a false sense of security. Happens too often with this group. The mix is not working.
The back-to-back, so Lonzo can't play, so you don't have a point guard. I know Ayo's back, but he's been out 10 games with the calf injury. So it is hard. Every time they turn the ball over, they're giving up a bucket. And that's what's hard to watch, is their awful offense, as bad as their awful defense. And it was just one of those games, totally uninspired, totally flat, tired, just not a very good performance all the way around. They never led in that game, right? They were like trailing.
Never led.
From Jump Street. It was just god-awful.
On this homestand, they're 1-3.
Yeah, I know.
It's a five-game homestand.
We had talked about, hey, this was their chance. If they were going to be good, they're playing all these mediocre teams. They're playing teams that are either mediocre or bad. The problem is, when the Bulls play those teams, they are either mediocre or bad. That they are the ultimate play down to the level of the opponent team.
You know, the thing that bothers you, and I think it's fair, Josh Giddey symbolizes so much of what's wrong with the Bulls. I think part of it for me is Josh Giddey, but part of it to me is the collective carelessness with the basketball.
Oh, God.
They had 20 turnovers. I don't understand how an NBA team.
It's not just turnovers. It's like teams can turn the ball over and then get gritty and get the ball back. Not the Bulls. It seems like every time they turn the ball over, they give up a bucket as a result of it.
Yeah, that is a problem. And they kind of have those letdowns. So it's one thing after another. They're not hitting from three-point land. Coby White has gone cold. And Daquan Plowden, your guy from the MAC. That was his NBA debut, by the way.
Oh, I know.
NBA debut against the Bulls. And Billy Donovan, we should listen to a little bit of a clip post-game, because as we discussed this throughout the city and why the Bulls midway through this season are now 18-23 after last year at midway point, 19-22, which was the same record as the year before. 3 years in, midway through the season, they are decidedly mediocre. Billy Donovan kind of knows what that looks like and sounds like.
I think it's just like, listen, the game is going to be played through mistakes. I don't think anybody's intentionally trying to make a mistake, but it's how you respond inside the adversity and the mistake. And the repetitively cannot continue to happen. You know, like I thought one of the things defensively we talked a lot about, and again, it was a quick turnaround for both teams. You know, so there's not like necessarily a lot of prep work, but this is the fourth time we've played them. You know, they're going to get into like a lot of stuff with Capella or Congo where they're going to be back cutting. We constantly kept getting back cut, you know, and we got to at some point get it resolved.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Yeah, I mean, that is a very true statement there. Tell you what, they did. It's like when a team can come in, and again, this is a team, a depleted, completely underwhelming group, and they can come in and do that repeatedly to you.
Well-coached team, the Hawks.
But that there's no pride. There's no pride shown.
That's a problem.
That's not a Quinn Snyder issue or a Billy issue. That is a player. That is a given a rat's behind.
At this stage, yeah, it's hard to put that on Billy Donovan, who I think understands why now the Bulls really have every reason to dismantle and to make changes and to lean into the idea that this will be a second half of the season that'll be in transition. You look at the numbers, you look at the draft class, and now is the best time to make that argument as the Bulls discuss their future in the second half, what to do. And does that change your mindset in terms of what you're willing to accept for a trade for Zach LaVine or Nikola Vucevic or whoever? Patrick Williams?
Sure.
Got it. A change of scenery. His play is begging for a change of scenery. He looks like a guy that is stuck in his development. And you just don't know if a team will want to take on that contract, but he may still have something left. We've seen it all the time. Guys change teams. Their careers change direction.
Yeah, he was bad again last night. There's no doubt about it. Look, here's the deal. They're not trying to lose. They're just losing. So what does that tell you?
Which makes it easier to pick a lane.
Yeah, you got.
They have picked their lane.
Listen to what they're saying to you.
Yeah. You don't have to listen. You could just watch.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah, I know.
But that's a statement,
too. It was bad. I mean, it was ruined. I really enjoyed it. I saw Mike Bray was a Notre Dame coach.
Yes.
And he's Atlanta Hawks assistant coach. I talked to him before the game. He's really enjoying himself. He is sort of the sage veteran on the Hawks staff. He recruited Quinn Snyder at Duke when he was Coach K's assistant. And it was just interesting to hear from his perspective the NBA life and where the Hawks are in their development. And you know, we talked a little bit about what the Bulls are doing, but
is he enjoying it?
He is really enjoying it because it's such a change of pace. You know, I think that there will be opportunities, I think, postseason for him. He's in his second year on the Hawks bench. Maybe he gets back into college basketball. Maybe he just enjoys being an assistant coach, but he looks great. He's in a great frame of mind, one of the more positive guys you're ever going to meet. But he talked just about the difference in approaches to the NBA game in college, and the Hawks are much like the Bulls in that they're kind of just flirting with mediocrity.
Mm-hmm.
He thought it was going to be a tough challenge last night just because they got in at 2 in the morning. The NBA lifestyle, you've lived it.
Sure.
It's like city to city. Where am I when I wake up? And the Hawks come into the United Center, and they look like the team that was well-rested and ready.
Yeah, that's quite a marathon. The NBA, and it's
especially right now, like mid-January.
These are the dog days of
winter.
The NBA.
You wake up, you get into the team bus.
No question about it.
It's like 8 degrees.
Yeah, it's cold, and you're in and out of town, and you got to have a bag packed, and you know you're always on the road. It's fun.
Is there anybody who wouldn't? If you have a conversation, I mean, you're not trading Montez Bazelas.
No.
Okay, you're not getting rid of. Him, and you probably, I don't know who else would
have that kind of
approach with, but that's about it.
Well, the real problem in the NBA, the real problem in sports is that the guys that you want to hang on to are often the only guys that have any value because the other teams are looking at you the same way that you start looking at your roster. So it is a sad reality that even if you like someone, you may have to trade them in order to throw a sweetener into another deal. So, I mean, like, there are, you know, I think that Kobe has come around, like, Io is a pretty good dude. I just think that those are pieces in other trades, maybe. I don't know that anybody is coming looking for any of those guys, but you might have to throw extra pieces in just to get rid of a salary.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. The players who might have the most value to you based on the size of their contracts and the quality of their contributions, those are guys you want to keep around, but those are the guys that other teams will want and you might have to throw in a Zach LaVine trade a trade for Vooch.
And you've clearly overestimated your star players. They clearly don't command the kind of trade value around the league that you expect to get in return.
Well, now is the time when, frankly, if that is the case, and I am agreeing with you, but if you have done that in the past, now is the time to kind of let go of that idea, because even if you don't get as much in return for a trade in a Zach LaVine deal or a Vooch deal, you can justify it because I think you're at the point where if you don't get as much in return and you are losing more frequently, that's not necessarily a bad thing because you want to be in the top 10 of this year's draft. Because now is the time, the second half of the season, you start to shift your sights on that.
You are in the top 10.
You want to stay there.
Well, and I agree with you. And I know what you're saying. You want to be in a better position to get a better player. I understand that. I hate that reality.
I do too. But we both kind of do. But
that's where they're at. They
lost three in a row at home.
They're going nowhere.
If they had won three in a row at home, our conversation and tone would be much different this morning.
There might be more panic about they need to get worse.
Well, if they had won the last three games this week, we would have been probably, you and I, clamoring for them to be competitive and to cling to this idea that, you know what, that matters in the NBA. But right now, it's hard to make that argument because they're not really giving us reason to. Billy Donovan sounded like somebody who understood that as well post-game. When asked a couple times, and he was asked some really good questions, Casey Johnson, Joe Cowley, they really addressed the reality and the elephant in the locker room, if you will. And Billy Donovan didn't back down. He almost like embraced the idea that, you know what, you're right. We have to discuss this. We understand why it's a topic of conversation. And moving forward, he didn't give us any reason to believe the Bulls won't be kind of complicit in doing the smart thing.
Well, I want to be careful how I say it. They didn't improve. Let's put it that way. And they're at the same position they were at. So obviously, they're in NBA hell.
They're in NBA hell.
And there's only one way out of that.
Let me ask you this, and I think we'll move on because we've
got to. And it's not by getting better.
It's not getting better. Have we? This is something we can talk about later, but because I wonder, we're pretty critical of everything the Bears coaching staff does, and we break down a lot of the Craig Council's decisions. Because we like Billy Donovan and respect the way that he sees the game and explains it, have we given him a little bit of a pass? Do you think that he's responsible in the fact that he's got a team that doesn't always show up effort-wise, and now they had an opportunity with three home games of a five-game homestand, and they have wet the bed, metaphorically. And I think when you look at what this team doesn't do in terms of effort and intensity, sometimes that does point to the coach, and we like the coach. So, but that's been disappointing.
Yeah, I feel like, and we're getting pushback from people. Everybody wants us to start blaming Billy Donovan. I feel like Billy made an adjustment and reacted to the changes made on their basketball team and the fact that DeMar DeRozan is not here. And I've seen them play differently, and I kind of like the way they're playing, given the league and given everything.
The style, and the pace.
And yes, and I think that he has responded. I don't expect him to put magic hands on players and make them better than they are or make them fit in better than they do.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm going a flight above him if I'm talking about change. I think that, I'm wondering what AK is doing. I'm mm-hmm. wondering what his plan is, because it's his plan. And maybe I got a blind spot, but I've enjoyed elements of this year because of the change in the way the team has played.
I think it's a really good explanation. I not surprisingly, am kind of with you there, because I do believe that Billy Donovan has tried to make adjustments based on the roster that he has, and he stylistically has changed the way the Bulls have played. They responded in time, but they have been inconsistent with results. And we just mentioned the 3 years at midseason, the Bulls have not improved, and the roster really significantly has not changed. And that's on the front office more than it is on the coach.
Is Billy not hitting the right buttons or getting enough out of Patrick Williams? Was Patrick Williams not worth the draft status that he got when he was brought to Chicago?
That's a good debate, but I think it might be 60-40 that he was not worth, maybe even more, 60-40, 70-30, that he was not worth the draft position where he was taken. And he did not have a skill set or the temperament and the approach, intensity, to be the fourth overall pick.
Yeah,
it's bothersome because, you know what? The Bulls, we like Billy Donovan. We thought that maybe they were at a point where we could defend them competing for that spot. But now after the last three games, it's deflating.
Yeah. Well, they've deflated, and it's time to get other things going. I never thought Lonzo Ball would come back. Honestly, that one has caught me by surprise. And I certainly never thought he would come back as good as he is.
It's one of the best stories in the league.
It's a good story.
Yeah.
And he's a very, very interesting player who can help a team. But I don't know that he has any trade value.
He doesn't, because of the money.
Well, and I don't know that he has any future value.
That's the thing.
But it's a great story.
You don't know if you can move him because of the risk involved in taking him.
Yes.
And the cost involved in having him on your payroll.
And I would suspect that that if you're another team, you would be like, wow, what a great story. That guy's great. I really like his instincts. Move on to the next guy. Like, I don't know that you could. I don't know that there'll be much demand for
him. He would be a guy that if you are going to move him, you would have to probably throw in somebody of lesser value on your payroll.
I don't know that they need to move him. I mean, it's a lot of money.
They've got to move somebody.
Well, they've
got to start shaking things up.
I think we know who they have to move. I think it's... But they need to move on from Vooch, and they need to move on from...
But you look at the Nuggets, who were interested in Zach LaVine earlier this year, and Jamal Murray had like 40-some points the other day.
I know.
Like, oh my gosh, okay, can you stop scoring? Because I thought you needed somebody who could light it up.
Could you please...
Could you please be injured?
Yeah.
Nobody wants an injury.
No, we're not.
But Zach has got a dwindling market, and it's the league telling the Bulls they don't want to make a deal. So I don't know where they go from here.
Yeah.
But we do know they're running in place, and they're in NBA hell.
Yeah. I mean,
tough place to be.
Yeah. It's. But I, to answer the question as to why I'm not tearing into Billy. Yeah, I really like him, and I like the way they play. And I don't know that he hasn't done something different and tried something different. But I think that the problem is that they've had the same players back, and they are no better. That's the problem. And I think that's kind of on the players. A little bit. It's the NBA, man. You know?
It's the NBA.
That's how the NBA works.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story, we break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.